So Acts chapter 9, and we'll read from verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is the Christian way, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Amen. May God bless this reading to us. We took a trip with Philip into the desert on a previous occasion, and we saw how the persecuted preachers of the gospel that had been expelled out of Jerusalem because of the death of Stephen and the persecution that followed upon the death of Stephen, ministered as they went along. So they were being chased as exiles, as refugees from their own homes out of Jerusalem. But that didn't stop them talking about the Lord. That didn't stop them telling those that they met about Jesus and preaching the gospel, especially those who had been anointed and set aside as ministers in the church. And as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ spread, it seems that Saul's anger intensified. As the gospel started to spread out like the ripples in a pool when a stone makes a splash, started moving away from Jerusalem, it seems as if Saul thought to himself, just a moment, I'm losing the opportunity to persecute these people. As these people are fleeing to other cities, I'm going to have to chase them. And so he went to the high priests and he asked for letters to the leaders of the churches or the synagogue in Damascus, that he might pursue the believers to what he calls strange cities. He had shut up believers in Jerusalem. He had put them in prison. He had witnessed against them at their trial. We're told that he punished them often, and he caused them to blaspheme. That was the intensity of Saul's violence and aggression towards the church. He forced those people, perhaps by torturing them, to say things that they didn't want to say, to do things that they didn't want to do, to speak against the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps even to speak against the Holy Ghost, in order that he might in some way feel that he was doing God's work in trying to stamp out this message about Jesus. And so he planned to go to Damascus and there to arrest and return any believers that he could find back to Jerusalem and put them on trial and put them in prison. And great fear arose amongst the believers there in Damascus as they knew that he was harrying them, knew that he was chasing them down. And as he was on his way to Damascus, it seems perhaps just a little way out of the city, something strange occurred. And this reminds us that God knows about all our troubles and our problems. We were just listening this morning for a short time in the room at the back as we were sharing together. And the prayer was made especially for the young people in this church, especially for the young ones during the week, when they're at school, when they're at college, when they're at their studies, when they're amongst their friends. And sometimes we don't know what it is that's happening, and we don't know what's going on around about us, and we feel anxious and we feel distressed. You know, the Lord knows about all the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And the Lord is in control of those circumstances. That would be a great comfort for those believers in Damascus. They knew that Saul was coming to get them. What would they do? And then the Lord intervened and helped them. And I think it's lovely the way that the Lord provides and prepares these blessings for his people. We should always be ready to thank the Lord when he helps us in such situations. On that journey that Saul was making to Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped him in his tracks. The Lord intervened. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came down to that road just outside Damascus and stopped Saul from doing what he planned to do? We're told that Saul saw a light shining in the sky. Another passage tells us that it was noon. It was at that time in the day when the sun was directly overhead, when it was shining at its brightest, when it wasn't casting any shadows. And the light that he saw shining around about him was brighter than the sun in the sky. And he heard a voice. He heard a voice that spoke his name, not once, but twice. And he met a person whom he knew to be bigger and greater and more powerful and more holy than he was. He knew him to be the Lord, and he was thrown to the ground. Such was the violence of that meeting, such was the awe and astonishment that he was thrown into, that he was thrown onto the ground. And as he lay there with his face in the dirt, perhaps expecting to be killed, perhaps expecting to be ushered into hell and away from this glorious person in whose presence he stood, this man realized that he was a sinner before the holy God. He thought he'd been doing God's will, but now he saw that he was actually persecuting God by persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a point I want to note with you. Every act of aggression against God's people is an act against Christ. It's a personal attack on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said to Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul might have thought, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting these Christians. Ah, but I'm the head of these Christians, and they are my body. You touch one of those, it's like touching the apple of my eye. So tenderly do I feel for them. So sensitive am I to their needs, to their hurts, to their wants, that you touch one of those, my little ones, and you are touching me. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ is so sensitive to our needs that a touch against us is a touch against him. He knows and he feels our trials, and he defends his own people. No one touches the Lord's little ones without there being serious and dire consequences for the action that they take. And here's another thing that's worth noting. That the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to Saul. But those that were with Saul, they didn't see the Lord. I don't think they actually heard the Lord either. It says that they heard a voice in verse 7. But I think that the voice that they heard was actually Saul's own voice. They heard Saul speaking, but they didn't know who he was speaking to. And when we think about that, we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't reveal himself to everyone. He only came to Saul that day. He only spoke to Saul. Those that traveled with Saul on the road, they didn't know who Saul was speaking to. And that reminds us that God's goodness, God's grace, God's love, God's personal dealings with us is exactly that, personal. He doesn't come to everyone. He comes to some people and he speaks to only some people. God's grace isn't a right that everybody can claim. It's a personal gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives it to some, and he doesn't give it to others. That's worth knowing, and it's worth remembering as we go through this life. And here's another thing worth noting. That this account of Saul's conversion is one of Scripture's most clear examples, most dramatic examples of sovereign distinguishing grace. Jesus came to save Saul. He came to call Saul. He came to commission Saul because Jesus had a plan for Saul. Saul was going to become a preacher of the gospel. He who had been a persecutor would be a preacher. He who had punished God's people would now be punished by God's people's enemies. This man who had been the hammer of the church, he would become one of the meekest, gentlest followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept a tender place for the well-being of every one of the Lord's little ones in his heart at all times. Saul of Tarsus was a wicked man. He was a self-righteous persecutor. He would take men, he would take women, he would take children. It didn't matter to him. And he would hurt them, and he would grieve them. He would even slay them because he thought he was doing God's will. But this man was a chosen vessel of salvation. And while he lay there in the dirt that day, he didn't know but that the Lord Jesus Christ was just about to slay him and cast his soul into hell. But rather, it was God's plan and purpose and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul and set him on another path completely. That is sovereign grace. That is distinguishing grace. The man who wanted to destroy the gospel was overcome by that gospel. The one who wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ was overcome by the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who wanted to destroy the church became a champion of the church. Many preachers, many churches today speak about free will. And their preachers tell their congregations that a sinner must decide for Jesus and a person must want to follow the Lord Jesus, must give their heart to Jesus in order to be saved. Saul wanted none of that. Saul wanted none of that. And Saul didn't go to Jesus. Jesus came to Saul. He came to Saul and he converted him. And that's what God the Holy Spirit still does today. We preach that God gives salvation to whomsoever he wills. It is God's gift. It is God's grace. He doesn't offer it to everyone, but he effectually, powerfully, and actually gives it to some who are the people of his choice, chosen from eternity before the world began. Saul was a wicked, violent man, but he was a chosen vessel of grace in the eternal purpose of God. I wonder if you notice in this account that Saul was blinded by this light that shone and by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ there with him. His encounter with the risen Lord blinded him. And that blindness was a picture. The blindness of sight was a picture of the blindness of heart that he had in his life up to that stage. Then the light of the gospel shone in upon him. Shone in upon him and saved him from his sin. Gave him that faith to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul's conversion is one of the most amazing testimonies in the scriptures. The church's greatest persecutor became its finest preacher. And Paul, as he would now be called, waited for the Lord's direction. He prayed, and the Holy Spirit ministered to his spirit. Jesus saved Saul, that Saul may serve Jesus. To serve his church, to preach the gospel that he had previously hated, to Jew and to Gentile, to stand before kings and to preach it to the common man and woman. From a persecutor to a preacher, and a brand new beginning. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts. Let's take our hymn books and sing again 103. 103.